Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 5th of May, and I'm recording at 9:45 p.m., and that is British summer time here in London. Okay, well, we have a nervous environment here in stock markets. That probably won't surprise too many people, because we've been at overbought levels, including last week. And then more than a few investors will have heard of the old adage, sell in May and go away. So what happened in here today? Well, Japan, which has done awfully well but was overbought the week before last, when I had my last audio. The Nikkei 225 index had pushed up to the big psychological 20,000 level. I mentioned it at the time. And it's backed away, not surprisingly, from that level. And so we seem to be getting an orderly reaction and consolidation, but we were sufficiently overbought so that it may last several weeks. China, which has been the star performer here this year, but was very, very overbought on the Shanghai Composite Index. That's the A-share index. And that had been just pretty much one-way traffic since early March. But it fell just over 4% in here today. And that's by far the biggest downward reaction that we've seen in a very long time. And it's a sufficient dynamic to suggest that this market's capped here for at least the short term, and we're likely to see some additional pullback and probably more likely a lengthy reaction and consolidation phase of at least a few weeks, given all those gains. But don't forget, against the background, we still do have a very accommodative monetary policy in China, and I see no evidence or suggestions yet that that's going to change here anytime soon. Now, among the Hong Kong indices, the H shares, they fell 2.64%, so that was a clear downward dynamic. Took that index to the bottom of the current consolidation range that's underway. So again, we're still in this reaction and consolidation phase. Okay, elsewhere, not a lot going on, truth to be told, here. The very small moves overall. India, the other big market in this region, down just a tiny, tiny fraction. And remember, that had that big gain on Monday. India looks different to China at this stage. Certainly it's been overshadowed by China in recent weeks, and India also had earned a lengthy consolidation process in its own right following earlier strong gains that we had seen. But it's now oversold and near the lower side of a consolidation range, and India really, I think, looks quite attractive in here, and it would take a much bigger, more frightening global sell-off to drag this market a little bit lower. So where China's overbought in the short term, India is oversold in the short term. Among the lesser markets, smaller markets, I should say, in the Asia-Pacific region, just quiet changes. A number of these so-called little tigers were firmer, slightly firmer in here today. Now, the European stock markets suffered today. They've been choppy here, with a little bit more downward than upward bias. And partly that's a reaction to the big overbought condition that we reached last month. And also there's the whole Grexit concern. A lot of nervousness here because we still haven't got an agreement and people are uncertain as to what's actually going to go on, what's going to take place. Jean-Claude Juncker, the president of the EC Commission, he is really takes a rather grave view of a potential Brexit. So I sense very strongly that there's a wish, at least on the part of the officials, to keep Greece on board at all costs. But this is a long drawn out drama here, and it's making the markets nervous. But we do have some developing oversold conditions that are taking place here. I mean, we know that the ECB's accommodative monetary policy is going to go on for well into 2016 at least. So oversold conditions present buying opportunities, and we're getting close to that situation here today. Maybe not just yet, because we had a little bit of sideways ranging, and the weakness has been more recent. looking at the well, all these European markets are down in here today, and bigger declines, 2.5 to 2.75%, and we've got Germany, Spain, and Italy, and also Sweden, all showing declines of that magnitude. Also, the Euro Stoxx 50 index, and sterling. Beg your pardon, not sterling. The UK market did a little better, although it was dragged down just before the close. But it's been a reasonably steady among European markets. It had underperformed on the way up, but has held steady. And I mentioned that just because we've got the UK election on the 7th, and the investors don't seem, at least not yet, all that nervous about the prospects there. Okay, Wall Street. Soft in here today, 0.5 of a percentage point down on the Dow, the S&P 1.18%, and NASDAQ 1.55%. So that shows that the real performers in recent months have been leading on the downside here. That's technology getting the bigger setback. We are still all within the overall upward trends on these indices, but we have had some failed upward breaks, including for the Russell 2000 index overall. So more choppy action. We've seen plenty of that, but things are making investors nervous there, not least the first quarter GDP growth of just 2%. And then the earnings growth is slowed down. So that's a concern overall. But so far, what we have seen from Wall Street is an ability for overextended sectors to pull back, consolidate, and then rally back up to their highs and reaffirm the overall bull trend. And until we see clear breaks of all the rising 200-day moving averages, I'd still give the upside the benefit of the doubt. But again, nervous environment here, as I emphasized a moment ago. Brazil higher by 1.22%. That's continuing to recover. Part of the strength has been due to the softer currency, but it's firmed up a little bit, at least against the US dollar. And also metal prices have been considerably stronger overall, again also helped by the dollar, but continued to firm that market somewhat. Now, looking at the government bonds, and I'm just going to bring this up and give you, because I think we're over 2.2% here. Let's just have a look. And well, we got there, but then backed off. So nevertheless, it was another gain. And what we've got, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, up 6 out of the last 7 days on this yield. So it's pushed up quite sharply to touch 220 here earlier today. It's currently at 2.1817. Now, there's a consensus view in the markets. On the part of all the bond experts that when bond markets go up, if they're going to, when bond yields, I should say, go up, if they're going to go up, they would say that they're going to do so on a very gradual basis. Now, well, that's certainly possible, and these people have done very well in this market, but they would have a vested interest in that, and I'm always a little bit concerned when we get a consensus of that sort. I mean, my feeling is very much that this is a lengthy base formation development process, and of course, the rally that we've seen in these yields really tends to favor that analysis, unless we see it significantly reversed here. And but even that, even a sharp downward reaction by these yields would, as long as it really held above this 1.8 level, that would just indicate a further extension to the overall sideways ranging formation. But just to put the big picture in mind here. what we've had well over 30 years of a bull market in terms of falling yields. How much lower can they actually go? Unless you're feeling that we're never going to see any economic recovery, which certainly isn't in my view. So again, I think these yields are building a ranging type 3 base, as from the chart seminar and our many discussions of that pattern. And when that, for instance, if that pushes up above the 230 level here, that would be breaking the progression of lower rally highs that we've seen over the last many months. And once I think investors begin to experience profit erosion in this sector, I think that yields could rise quite sharply. And very often, when you get an extremely overextended trend, that's the way it tends to end. Now, overall, this to me is the bubble. In these markets, it's not stock markets, it's the government bond markets, and that bubble has certainly been created and is still being created by or still being fed by quantitative easing, but that's not going to go on indefinitely. Okay, what else to mention here? The dollar index, it's quite interesting. It is currently at 95.123. That's down on the day. It did get up to 95.946 earlier in the day. Actually, at this 95 area, it's touching a first small area of chart support. I mentioned that in my last audio the week before last. But it hasn't been able to lift up off that level yet, and my view is very much that the Fed has been helping to nudge this lower very quietly, of course, unannounced, and it would remain that way. What the Fed certainly wants to see is a softer dollar in here. We know that the Fed very much wants to commence, if it's just a token interest rate hike, here before we get into the 2016 election year to any significant degree. And it hasn't been able to do it, yet. And it's got two problems here. One was the soft first quarter. Now that is unlikely to be repeated in the second quarter. Or throughout the rest of this year, in my opinion. In other words, I think growth will pick up and possibly reasonably sharply following this slowdown in the first quarter. But that hasn't been proved yet that growth is going to pick up sharply. And the other thing is, of course, what the ECB is doing with its massive quantitative easing program. So the Fed is probably feeling a little bit uncomfortable here. Say it wants to get at least a quarter to half a percent interest rate hikes in here later this year. They're not going to do it at June, in my opinion. And September is possible, probable, but by no means actually guaranteed at this stage. What else is going on here in the currencies of interest? Chinese renminbi very steady. That's nothing new. Sterling not doing that badly. Remember, sterling did get up to 155 last week, and then got knocked back quite sharply. But in here today, it's 151.82. This is not as weak as one might suspect, given the apparently knife-edged, balanced UK election. Incidentally, where the betting shops say that the Tories will, that's the Conservative Party, will certainly get the biggest vote count. What counts, of course, is the actual number of seats that they get. And the betting shops are saying that the Conservatives will get at least 10 more seats than Labour. These markets that I've just mentioned, Sterling, the UK Stock Market Index, they would tend to support that view. Overall, the markets favor the Conservatives. But the betting shops also say that there's a better chance that Labour will form the next government with the help of the Scottish National Party. Well, that's worrying for those of us who live here, and would certainly affect a lot of actions here, given the tax hikes, the talk about closing out the non-dom status for wealthy investors that are over here, or wealthy business people who are living in the UK temporarily. So a lot of uncertainty ahead, and the market seems to be relatively calm against that background, as if, and I say this with a bit of hope in my voice, as if the Conservatives might do considerably better than the polls show at the moment. Okay. Elsewhere in currencies, again the euro 1.1185, steady-ish here against the U.S. dollar, and could see perhaps a little bit of additional recovery here. Although I don't think that the Mario, I don't think Mario Draghi at the ECB will want to see that much of a recovery by the euro, and QE would argue. Or QE would tend to keep it somewhat lower overall. And what else to mention? Industrial metals. I think I touched on those earlier on, but they have recovered here for the most part. Aluminium is the latest to join that run, a sharp run up over the last month. The move to the upside had been led by zinc and lead. We have also seen copper pick up here somewhat. It's at 292.8. That's the US price. So that's up in here again today. Precious metals are also firmer here with the help of that soft US dollar. And they look like they're sort of ranging in potential base formation development, but I suspect, given all the other factors that I've mentioned, including ETF liquidations that are still taking place in the West, that it may be a lengthy process overall. From a trader standpoint, for those of you who are interested in doing that, I think it's kind of environment where when you see the spikes down in those precious metal prices, that's the time to nibble lightly on weakness and maybe let them go on the rallies as such as we're seeing at present. And grains and beans, still it's still a soft sector here generally, not least for corn. And then that problem with chickens in the US, I think 25 million chickens are having to be eliminated here. That's going to cause some problems for in terms of egg prices moving higher. And of course it's moving removing rather some of the demand for corn in the US. Now, last but not least, crude oil firm in here today. The WTI up 60 sorry, it's up 1.82, and it's at $60.75. The Brent crude is at 67.61. That's up 1.16, and it was a little higher earlier in the day overall. And some talk about the Saudis raising some of their prices for some of their customers. Suggesting that the pressure of the low prices is not something they want to endure all that much longer. But of course, the interesting situation with WTI moving up in the US, at what stage or does the fracking start to pick up once again? They could restart that quite sharply. If they were priced in Brent rather than the WTI, I think that would already be underway. But WTI's still only at 60.73. Again, that's up 50% from its lows. Put that up another $5, $10, and I think we'll definitely see some fracking resume. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.